Today we finish a sermon series on the book of Revelation. But we're not done, are we? This is simply the end of a study of a book that tells us about the end. But it's not the end, unless Jesus is coming now, which would work for me. And I hope it would work for you. We do not think it's the end of this study. Revelation is not about the end, even though it teaches us about the end. It's much more about how we now should live, because Jesus is Lord and coming again soon. Do you understand that? It teaches us about the end, but it's much more about how we should live now, because Jesus is Lord and coming again soon. In fact, Jesus is the one who speaks here in verse 20. He is the one who has testified all along. He's the one who sent the Spirit, who has brought John through all these visions. And it's Jesus himself now who says, "Surely I am coming soon." John responds, still in the Spirit, showing us what our response should be. Amen. That means, so be it. Come, Lord Jesus. And I would put to you, stepping back from that just a little bit, here's the pattern for healthy living. Jesus speaks and we respond. That really is what the Christian life, what human life was supposed to be all about. God speaks and we respond. If you haven't figured it out yet, our worship service just does that. God speaks, we respond. God speaks, we respond. That's the pattern, that scripture, that God himself instituted from the beginning. The real question is it the pattern of your life? And that's where we get into trouble, isn't it? Far too often, we hear and rebel. We don't do those things God said we should do. We do the things God says don't do. Or we do what God says to do, but we do it in our strength for our glory. Look at me! And then far too often, we just don't listen at all. But that's the story of Revelation. Remember back in chapter 5, they're looking for one who can accomplish the will of God. And no one was found in all the heavens, and no one was found in all the earth, and no one was in the earth. And John weeps and weeps because no one could do what God required. Until John was stopped and said, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He can fully accomplish the will of the Father. He is the one who listens and who obeys all the time about all things." And as John looks, what he sees, this Lion of the tribe of Judah, is one who looks like a lamb that had been slain. The one who offered himself as the atoning sacrifice, who made us who were in rebellion right with God once again, so that we could listen and obey. And it's that Jesus who is given the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we might know him and believe in him and find that freedom to begin again to listen and obey, to respond to the Lord's grace and mercy and truth and so much more. It's really the point of the whole book has been to grow our longing, our looking to Jesus alone, that we might listen and obey. Now, we live in this tension between the already and not yet. The already of what Christ has accomplished and is accomplishing in us. But the not yet, the fullness is not here. And we long and we wait for that day. And what we're taught here in these last two verses is how to pray in these last days. Remember, the last days being all those days between Christ's first and second coming. And what we are to pray is to come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. And we pray that in the already. Lord, come even now by your Spirit. Comfort me in my sorrow and loss. Strengthen me in my weakness. Give wisdom in my ignorance. Provide according to your promises. Lord, bless. Lord, help. Come now. But even as we pray that, we also are praying, Lord, come back soon. Make me, make all of creation as it should be, even as you have promised. Make us new. And I would put to you, as this letter ends, he's simply showing us how we should have been responding all along. Remember back in chapter 1, the vision began with John beholding the resurrected, ascended Jesus. The Jesus who had been pointed to and foreshadowed throughout the Old Testament. The Jesus John knew and loved. He's come back, and John sees him in his glory, his power, his beauty, his majesty. He falls at his feet as though dead, but Jesus lifts him up and gives him work to do. You know, as the Holy Spirit works in opening up God's Word to us, as the Holy Spirit illumines God's character and His providential acts in our lives, we too are beholding the resurrected and ascended Lord and should be learning to pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Come now, show me your glory, that all these things that fascinate me might be put in their proper place, that idols might be seen for what they are, that foolishness might be overcome. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come, that once again we all might see your fullness and know the fullness of joy as you are glorified in all the earth. Remember chapter 2 and 3, it showed Jesus present with his church, watching over his church, rebuking his church, encouraging and providing for his church. And as we each deal with our ongoing struggle with sin, as we each long for more of his mercy and his faithfulness, we were invited to pray, come, cover my sins, set me free from guilt, set me free from the power of sin, that I might live more and more in your fullness. Come, Lord Jesus, come, that we might be done with this battle and fully glorify and enjoy you, even as we bless one another. In chapter 4 and 5, through John, we were able to see the glory of the Creator and of the Redeemer, the ones who are worthy. And as we see their worthiness, again, we're invited to cry out, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Show us your glory that all else might fade in comparison, that our lives, that we might declare your glory. Chapter 6 and 7, we see Jesus opening the seals and accomplishing the Father's will, both in judgment and in deliverance. In chapters 8 through 11, we saw his work of sending forth trumpeters to warn people of the judgment to come. We live in a day and an age where that work desperately needs to be carried on, where foolish people seek only their own way and are destroying one another. So again, we are invited to cry, come, Lord Jesus, come. Rescue and redeem all who are yours before it's too late. Use us to sound the warning cry. Give ears to hear. Give eyes to see. That people might be rescued from darkness. In 12 through 14, we saw the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. The false trinity come and try to substitute for the true God. This false trinity that brought death and destruction. And again, it was given to us to cause our hearts to cry out, come, Lord Jesus, come. Help us even now to stand firm in Christ. Not to be distracted by this, that, or the other thing. Not to be distracted by politics. Not to be distracted by religion. Not to be distracted by comfort. Not to be distracted by lies. But to be satisfied only in you. Help us to see these substitutes for what they are and abandon them. Then we were given the picture of judgment being poured out. Remember that pouring out of judgment is an already and not yet. All those who die are being judged already. The ultimate judgment of eternal damnation is yet to come. That judgment of all who set themselves against the Lord and His anointed. And so again, we pray for friends, for loved ones, for neighbors, for the great many yet walking in darkness, that Jesus would come quickly in His mercy to redeem all who are His and to give all others the judgment they deserve that they might cease from their foolishness. And as we see Jesus establishing His kingdom, we see in part just a glimpse of the fulfillment of what that kingdom will bring as it removes all evil, as it comforts all afflictions, as it rights every wrong. And so again, we're invited to cry out, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Make us fit, spotless, radiant, that we might dwell with You now and forever. It's in that tension, as we saw last week, that Jesus is our anchor, that His word is true and sure and steadfast. It's in that tension that we find Jesus our hope. He is coming soon, and He is even now making us His people. He is our very present help for every trial, every hardship. Even now, giving us peace and joy and hope. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of hurt, in the midst of loss, Jesus is enough. He's more than enough. That's His great gift, and that's the great invitation here. As you wrestle with loss, as you wrestle with trials, as you wrestle with hardship, as you wrestle with uncertainty, as you wrestle with fear, as you wrestle with anything and everything, here is your help. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come right now and meet me in this place and give me what You think is best. And remind me, You are coming soon. When all of this, where all evil, all foolishness, all lies will be removed, where we all together will be made new. He is our present help. He is our only hope. And He is coming soon. May our longing for that fullness well up from within by the Holy Spirit's work, so that more and more our hearts cry to the lost is come, that they too might find deliverance, new life, blessing, help, and hope. May our cry to Jesus ever be, come, Lord, quickly, come. Now, John ends here with just the simple reminder that all that we need has already been provided for, that this might be so. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.